Lord Brahma in this section of Bhagavatam is continuing to explain and come to the final conclusion that Krishna is the essence of everything. In the outline of the Bhagavatam, they explain in the beginning, they say that why Krishna is everyone's dearmost object of affection. Why is Krishna everyone's dearmost object of affection? That is the discussion going on here. Brahma is taking us from point to point. Some people may say, my body, this body is the dearmost object of my affection. And that's what he discussed yesterday. And then he says, and people think, this is mine, this is me. I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm black, white, I'm woman, man, this is me. This is the dearest thing is my body. And then in this verse he says, actually beyond the body there's something, the self, the Atma. Tasmat priya atma swatma. This is the topmost dear thing, the uttam priya, priya uttam, priyatma, priyatma, is the actual self. This is the most important thing. And then tomorrow he explains that the self of all selves is Krishna. So what Brahma is explaining here is the actual line of thinking, the line of thinking of an Aryan. We often hear this term in India, Arya Samaj, or Arya Samaj, the collection, the Samaj, the group, the gathering of Aryans, the Aryan Samaj. I believe that's what Samaj means, the collection, is it right? A society, assembly. Society is where many men collect around the Arya Samaj, the collection of Aryans. So Prabhupada defined Aryan as one who is endeavoring spiritually to understand the goal of life. The arta, tarartam, as this verse says, tarartam, tarartameva sakalam. Tarartam, the arta, the goal. So this is the Aryan. The Aryan is actually endeavoring to find out what is the essence. What is the essence of life? He's searching for the essence. And this is what Brahma is trying to explain philosophically here. Is what is the actual essence of reality? What is the essence of life? Is it this body? Is it the soul? Ultimately, the essence of life is God. And that's a real Aryan, that he's searching. He wants to find what is the essence of life. What is the real deep meaning? And I see so many families and bodies, so many societies and nations and living entities. But what's underneath it all? What is the root of it all, the basis of it all, the essence? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that there's two kinds of people in the world. One of those kinds of persons he calls asses. Because his teacher, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teacher, also uses this word. His teacher is Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mam mudha. Right? Asses, mudha. So this is one category of persons in this world, the mudha, the ass. And what is the characteristics of the ass, of the mudha? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, the ass is a load-bearing animal. He bears a load on his back. A load of bricks, a load of laundry, a load of wood. When you go to Vrindavan, or if you live there, you see so many, these little skinny little legs, these little skinny animals known as the gada. What are they called? Gada? So the ass, the donkey, the ass, you see in Vrindavan, heavy load of wood or bricks for building some house, so many little bricks or so much dry wood he's carrying to the market, and he's grimacing under the heavy weight. So this is the typical, or you can say the exemplary animal, that the foolish ass, the load-bearing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is one category of people in this world. Human beings are ass-like. Avajananti ma mudha, these asses that Krishna describes in Gita. And he explains that the ass-like human being, He is carrying the idea, his conception that he's carrying, the false conception that he's carrying in the carriage of his mind, in the cart of his mind. He's carrying this idea. His mind is like a rat, manoratena. The Bhagavatam we say, manoratena, the chariot of the mind. So the mind is like a cart, and the cart carries a heavy load, or the ass carries a heavy load. So the mind is carrying this heavy load, the manoratena. So what is that heavy load that the mind is carrying? It is this misconception that the essence of life is this body. And the essence of this body is the senses and the sense objects. And the essence of life is to enjoy. Enjoy this body. This is the load-bearing entity. This is the load-bearing human being who thinks like this. Yes, this world is mine. It is for my pleasure. This body is mine. This family, relatives, they're all mine for my pleasure. So he says that this is one type of people, this load-bearing. These are not Aryans. These are not the Aryans that are seeking the essence of life. But he says that there's another category, which are very rare, very, very rare, category of human beings that are actually seeking the essence of life. They're known as Prema Rurukshu. They're seeking the essence is actually love of God. Krishna Prema. This is the essence of life. This is because they analyze, as Brahma is explaining these verses, they analyze that the source of everything is actually God. The source, I am created by the supreme, by a supreme creator. And that within me is a particle of God, a particle of consciousness. I'm actually a very minute part and parcel of the supreme consciousness, the supreme Lord. And that if I trace everything back, ultimately there's an ultimate creator, and that creator is God. And I am connected with him. I am part and parcel of him. And so in this series of verses, Brahma is explaining that Krishna, ultimately Krishna is the only object of affection. It says, tasmat priyatama swatma, that the most dear thing to the self, the most dear thing to us is not the body, but actually the atma, the self. And this is what we have a eternal loving relationship with that self and the super self within. So to seek this out, this is the meaning of life. Just like in this ISKCON Youth Forum, they have a questionnaire. They ask questions. So they ask the name and occupation, qualification. And then they ask, what are your hobbies? What are your hobbies? What do you do in your spare time when you're not going to school or working? How do you spend your spare time? And some people say, playing cricket, watching cricket, reading about cricket. I mean, they're really absorbed in cricket. And someone else says, reading books. But one person said, my hobby is making friends. Making friends. Like to meet new people and speak to them and make friends with them. So actually, this is the driving force of the living entity, is to find relationship, to make a relationship with another, to find a suitable person, a friend, a lover, a child, our parents, to find a suitable person whom we can offer our love to. Because this is actually the essence of life. And those that seek this essence in relationship to God, seek the essence of love, which is the love of God, they are the Prema Rurukshu, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. They are the essence seekers. So when one realizes that actually I'm anxious to make friends, but all these friendships and all the relationships that I make in the material world, they are broken and crushed by the invincible sword of time. All these relationships are broken and thrown away. But there is a relationship we can make that is never broken. So the seeker of truth will understand, yes, I can have a relationship with Krishna, that actually Krishna is my dearmost friend. That the dearmost thing to me is not my body, it's actually myself, my Atma. There's a term, sometimes Krishna is explained as a term, he's called Atma Priya. Like this verse says, Priyatma. That the dearest, Priya Uttam, the topmost dearest thing is my Swatma. The verse says this, it says, Tasmat Priyatma Swatma, Swatma, my Atma, myself, my soul, this is the dearest thing to me. Because everything else will go, everything else will perish. I can see, an intelligent observer of the passage of time and its influence on the body can easily understand something's changing here. There's changes going on at 10 years old. Now I'm 15, now I'm 30, now I'm 50. I see many, many changes in the body. I'm observing these changes. I'm witnessing them. I'm seeing them. I am seeing them. I am observing. The body's changing. Oh, the body is getting old. I don't feel old, but this body, I can see the body is getting old. I am fresh. When I wake up, I feel the same when I wake up as when I was 5 years old and I woke up. When I was 10 years old, I wake up, you feel fresh. You sleep at night properly, and if you're healthy, something. You wake up, you feel fresh. But then I'm 5 years old. And then you look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm 55 years old. This time has changed something here. So this is the time the body is changing, but this soul is not changing. It is ever fresh. So the dearest thing to us is actually the soul, the Atma. This is our dear, this is unchangeable, this is us. The body, okay, the body may change, I may lose an arm, but the main thing is me. The Atma, the soul. So this Atma Priya, as Krishna is described, as being the dearest one to the soul. So an Aryan is someone who realizes the dearest thing, the essence of life, is not this body, as the God brothers are quoting Vishnu Chakravarti. He's saying that charachara, characharam, it can mean moving and non-moving, charachara, moving and non-moving. And the Vishnu Chakravarti body says it can also refer to moving possessions, chara achara, moving possessions such as one's family, pets, and non-moving possessions such as one's house and household paraphernalia. Of course, sometimes our household paraphernalia also moves. If someone robs our house, if someone comes to our house and robs it, then our stereo and our TV and our tape player, they also move out of our house. Characharam. So our possessions, our wife is moving, our family dog and cat and our pets are moving, our children's moving, everything is moving. Characharam. But the one who's realizing Krishna, he understands there's something that's immovable. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita. There's something that doesn't move. There's something that doesn't change. The eternal, ever-present, unchanging self. And that eternal, ever-present, unchanging self is me. And then beyond me, beyond myself, there's a super self, the Paramatma. And he is the most dear. So this is one who's actually intelligent will search for what is the essence of life. And he'll go further and further and he'll come to the soul. And then he'll come to the super soul. And then he'll go further and say, well, all right, there's an existence of the soul and the super soul, but what is the exchange? What is the relationship? The relationship is love, is prema. That one realizes that it is the super soul that has been arranging everything for me. And it is the super soul that's been maintaining this body and growing this body. And I am simply riding in this body, I'm driving in this body, I'm moving in this body. I put some prasadam in and everything is digested and correctly proportioned and distributed throughout the body to build and maintain the body. I have no understanding or awareness about it or involvement with it. It is all what they call the involuntary nervous system, or it's all going on by the arrangement of Krishna. The person who is realizing this, he starts to realize that actually Krishna If I make friends, like I mentioned the hobby, if I make friends with Krishna, the Krishna is my real friend. The Krishna is with me at every moment. One who realizes that the ultimate friend is Krishna, and Krishna is within my heart, and I'm never separated from Krishna. In fact, the ultimate essence of life is to have a loving relationship with that friend in the heart, with that Krishna. And the devotee, the one who's actually a devotee, is explained, there's one purport, it's explained that the devotee, he installs the Lord on the throne of his heart. He places the Supreme Lord on the throne of his heart. And then he begins to worship him there, worship the Lord there, as in a constant festival of devotional service. He worships the Lord in a constant festival of devotional service. He says, "Oh my Lord, oh Krishna, you're sitting in my heart. Now I'm going to sing for you because I love you and I want to offer my love. Now I'm going to sing for you. Now I'm going to dress you. Now I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to make a cake for you. But this cake, this bhoga that I'm offering to you is actually my heart, is my prema." It's described that Mother Yashoda, when she was churning yogurt and making butter, this butter was the solidified form of her motherly affection. The butter that Mother Yashoda was churning for Yashoda Nandan was the solidified form of her Vatsalya Bhav. So when she was offering, when she would put this makkhan in a clay pot, and then Krishna would steal it, of course it would taste much better when he stole it, or whether she would offer it directly to him, she was not really offering makkhan or butter or yogurt, she was offering her maternal affection, her motherly love. So this is what actually cooking for Krishna means. And sometimes devotees are so much absorbed in lovingly cook for Krishna that, because the preparations we offer are actually the form of our love. Just like the yogurt and butter is actually the form. Because someone might say, what is the form of love? Can you see love? Can you smell love? Can you taste love? Of course the answer is yes. Krishna is the personification of love, and you can smell Krishna, prema ganda, prema rasa. There's a taste of love and a fragrance of love and a touch of love. So some devotee who wants to show his love for Krishna, he will show it in the form of service. So people can see, oh, look how much this devotee loves Krishna, because day and night he's engaged in the service of Krishna. But if you see someone who's sleeping all day and just speaking nonsense all day and eating all kinds of nonsense food, you can understand he's showing his love for Maya. Look how much he loves Maya. He loves to talk about Maya. He loves to eat bhoga. And he loves to eat Ahara Nidra Maitun. Ahara Nidra Maitun, Bhayam. These are his activities. So this is when the devotee realizes, yes, this is my Priyatam, my dearest one. When Radha and Krishna are speaking to each other, they don't usually call each other Radharani and Krishna. They have their own name, they're familiar, they have their own names. Just like a father may not call his son by his official name. He may call him Papu, or in Bengali they have this term Papu or Babu or whatever. They have these little affectionate names that they use, short terms of affection for their children. So when Radha and Krishna are speaking to each other, oftentimes Krishna will speak to Radharani and say, "Oh Priyaji, oh Priya, oh Priyaji." Priyaji means you're my beloved, you're my dearest, you're very dear to me. You're the most dear to me, you're my Priyaji. There's no other dear person in my whole life than you. Your service is the best, your association is the most wonderful and enchanting and mystifying and attractive. And then Srimati Radharani, she replies to Shamsundar or to Krishna. She says, "Oh Priyatam, this word, Priyatam. Krishna's saying, you're my Priyaji, and she's saying, but you're my Priyatam, you're my Priyautam. You're my topmost dearest, you're my dearest, 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 most beloved. So this is their dynamic exchange. So this, by this exchange of names, we can understand the exchange, the realization that they have for each other. And this is devotee. That the devotee, just as Srimati Radharani is the greatest devotee, Aradhanam, Sarvesham, she's the greatest worshipper of all worshippers of Krishna, is Radharani. So she's saying that the dearmost object is Krishna, Priyatam, as this verse says. Tasmat Priyatama Swatma. That at this stage of his dialogue, in these five or six verses, Lord Brahma is saying, the Atma, the Swatma, my self. And then tomorrow he says, but Krishna, he is the dearest of the dearest. I am Priya, but Krishna, but to me, Krishna is my Priyatam. He's the most dear thing to me. So when one understands that actually Krishna is my greatest friend, and he actually begins to realize the essence of life. When you come to the conclusion that God is my best friend, and he's always with me, and he's always helping me, and providing for me, and always waiting for me to reciprocate with him. Because love is a two-way street. So when we realize, yes, God is actually my dearest friend, and that I'm looking for happiness in relationships of family and friends, but material friendships and material families and the relationships therein, and the happiness we derive from interacting with our friends and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and children, it is all very limited and is all very temporary. And ultimately, it is a source of constant frustration. If one is honest, if one is actually honest about his position in his relationships in this material world with his so-called family and friends, relatives, wife and husband, he will see that although there is some rasa, there is some taste and pleasure of that friendly exchange or that parental exchange between mother and child or father and child or husband and wife, still there is so much frustration built into that relationship. There will be so many frustrating events and so many frustrating situations. For example, in a married situation, the husband is excited. He's in a good mood. And he wants to, you know, enjoy with his wife. But the wife is, of course, this is mundane persons, but the wife is not in any mood. Or the child is very happy, and the child wants to play. Oh, let's play. And the mother's sick. And so then the child, he says, come on, let's play. And she says, I'm sick, I can't play. And then the child becomes what? He becomes frustrated. He has no one to play with. So in that Vatsali relationship, the child is feeling frustrated, or the wife is frustrated with the child. So this is the nature of these material friendships. So if one seeks, that is the essence, the body is the essence, and the essence of actual material identity is friendship and love and making friends, as we mentioned, as one student said, that is his hobby, to make friends. Then such a person will never actually find the true bliss of life, the ananda, the anand that everyone's looking for. Just like Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was moving as a sannyasi, he met one tantric sannyasi. Well, I don't know if he was really tantric, or you can say, I guess he was tantric. He was dressed in red cloth. And he invited Lord Chaitanya and said, Lord Chaitanya, please you come to my house and take some anand. You come, I'll give you some anand. In Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Lord Chaitanya says, yes, I'll go. I'll come to your house and take some anand. Anand, ananda, anand, anand, right? Anand? Ananda. Take some ananda. Some bliss. So Lord Chaitanya went there, and then the tantric sannyasi, he said, yes, here I have this bottle of brown liquid ananda. I'll pour you one glass. So he wanted to offer ananda to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, thank you. But in return, Lord Chaitanya gave him premananda. Premananda. He gave him the bliss of becoming a devotee, the bliss of realizing that the real happiness of life comes from making friendship with Krishna. And a friend is someone that you want to always be with, and a friend is someone you want to always serve, and a friend is someone you want to always play with and exchange with. So that friend is right, is the nearest and dearest thing, Swa-Atma. The dearest thing to us is our Atma, and next to our Atma is Krishna. We should search for the essence of life. The essence of life is Ananda. And Ananda can only be found, Ananda means Ananta, it's eternal. Real Ananda means eternal, everlasting, unbroken happiness that expands at every moment. Eternal, unbroken happiness. Eternal, unbroken happiness that expands at every moment, that is Ananda. In order to experience that type of bliss and pleasure, it is only possible when there's sambandha, when there's relationship. And that type of happiness is only possible when that relationship is between the jiva and Krishna, between the self and the super self. It can be in a relationship of Sakya Ras, Vatsali Ras, Madhurya Ras, some relationship, sambandha, Krishna sambandha. So this is the actual essence of life, is to find this Ananda. But the Ananda is a byproduct of prema, premananda. And prema is only possible in the eternal relationship between the self and the supreme self, between Krishna and the living entity. So Krishna is our greatest friend. And this is what Brahma has come to realize. Actually, this little boy playing in Vrindavan, who's running here and there playing looky-looky, hide-and-seek with the coward boys, and he's playing kabaddi, you know, tag or whatever, running here and there, and he's playing with a kapita fruits. They play bat and ball with a kapita fruits. And he's playing his flute. He's so carefree. He eats or he doesn't eat. He sleeps or he doesn't sleep. He doesn't care. He's completely... This is God. This is the Paratattva, the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes. This is the one this is the same one that I was offering all those prayers to when I was sitting on the lotus flower, when this all started, in the beginning of creation. I had that glimpse of Spurti. I had that Lila Dham Spurti. I had a momentary flash of darshan of Goloka Dham. And I saw Ishvara Parama Krishna. And I saw Satchidananda Vigraha. And I saw Nadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. I saw that Karana Karanam was Govindam. But then I forgot. I became Vimoha. Brahma Vimohan Lila. This is chapter 13. I became Vimoha. I forgot that Govinda that I saw in Spurti, and I offer all these prayers, Alola Chandrakala Sadvanamalya Vamshi Ratnan Ganam Pranani Kedi Kalavilasham Shamam Tribangalalitam Niyata Prakasham Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Bajami. I forgot. That same Govinda I saw in front of my eyes playing with the cows and the coward boys on the bank of the Yamuna, and I thought, anyway, let me play a trick. He's just some little boy. Then he taught me a big lesson. And now I realize. Now I have some realization. I had some experience. I was confused. I was in illusion. I didn't understand who this Krishna Govinda was. But now he taught me a good lesson. I've learned a good lesson. And as an acharya, as the head of a sampradaya, Brahma sampradaya, Brahma madhva, Gaudiya sampradaya, I want to teach everyone a good lesson. Please, I am Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. I am a Mahajan, and I want to teach everyone from now on a good lesson, that Krishna, he is the supreme object of affection. That Krishna is the supreme object of affection. We may have, and so this is what he's teaching, these verses. Listen everyone, this is what I realized. The Adi Kavi, the original intelligent being of this universe. Me, Lord Brahma. That, okay, you may have affection for some, they're temporary, they're primary objects of affection and secondary objects of affection. The secondary objects of affection are temporary. They are temporary. And when we show our affection to those temporary objects and persons and things, we experience difficulties and frustration and ultimately unhappiness, because our wife will die, our husband will die, our friend will get run over, or our friend will die, or something will happen to break that relationship. So these are secondary objects of affection. But the primary object of affection should be God, Krishna, and Krishna alone. Because He is the source. He is actually the source of all the other objects of affection. Everything is coming from Him. I have come from Him. And my wife has come from Him. And my children have come from Him. And my family and everything has come from Him. And it's all His. It's all part of Him. It's all part of Krishna. I am one tiny little part of Krishna. And the whole idea of affection itself, where does affection come from? Where does the idea of love and being loved, giving love and receiving love, feeling happy, being attracted to something of this world, or being attracted to a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, where does it come from? Where does the attraction and the love and the affection come from? It comes from Krishna. These are expansions of His personal potency. These are expansion of His personal potency is His Daivi Shakti, His Ladini Shakti. The quality of affection and love is simply a manifestation of Ladini Shakti in its upside down form. So that affection and love and attraction is all those things together creates attraction. Affection, love, prema, exchange, a relationship. So Krishna is the source. The ultimate attraction is Krishna. So this is the essence that we should search for. And we should also examine ours. We may say, well, this, we know all this, Maharaj. We know all this. We heard all these things. But somehow the Bhagavatam is telling us these things over and over again. And we may also ask ourselves, have I become deviated from the essence of life? Because it's a fact that Maya is such, Maya is so powerful that she covers. She doesn't say, oh, you were a bhakta. You were bhakta Sunil. And today you got initiated. Now you're Krishna Chaitanya Das. Now you are completely uncovered. Now you are completely free from my grips. Now you are liberated. It's not like that. Maya is coming time to time to cover over the devotee, time to time to throw the devotee's intelligence into the field of illusion, throw the devotee's heart into the fields of offenses and aparads and doubts and confusion. So this happens, and when one becomes deviated in that way by Maya, whether he's initiated, he's a 5-year devotee, a 10-year devotee, oh, he's a disciple of Prabhupada, or he's, well, you know, he may be a devotee for not only 20 years or 30 years, maybe a devotee for 5 lifetimes, or 3 lifetimes. Still, that devotee can become diverted from the goal. And you ask a devotee, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why did you come here? Why did you come to this movement? Why did you approach Krishna? He said, I was looking for love. I wanted to attain love of God. I was frustrated with this world. I was looking for it. I was attracted by the beauty of the transcendental reality. And I wanted to take part in that. I wanted to be part of that and attain this wonderful, sweet, and relishable, tasty, all attractive love of God that sages have talked about and written about and experienced. I want that to be my reality. I don't want this material world anymore. It is rather dull and temporary. So we come with that initial clear idea, a very clear conception of the goal of human life. We are true Aryans. We are seeking the essence of life. We're essence seekers. An intelligent man is seeking the essence, like scientists, they try to get to the essence. How does this thing work? Well, is it chemicals? No, it's not only chemicals, you have to go more than chemicals, it's molecules. It's not molecules, it's atoms. No, you have to go deeper. You have to go deeper than the atom. It's neutrons. No, there's the essence of the neutron is the proton or the zion or whatever. I don't know, whatever. They keep going down and create new names as they get to the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence. So the essence, Siddhanta Sara. What is the essence of Siddhanta? Tattva Sara. What is the essence of truth? The essence of truth is, it's very simple. Very simple. What is the solution? The solution is very simple. This is the essence. The goal of life is to love God. I should surrender to God. I should love God. I should love God's devotees. And I should go back home, back to Godhead. That is the essence. That is the tattva sara, the essence of truth. But, as we mentioned, and this describing a devotee, devotees, they can become bewildered and covered, and they get into artha, economic development, and they start thinking, yes, this body is actually dear, this deha is priya deha, my sharira deha, sharira priya, sharira. This body is very dear to me, and I must decorate it nicely with fancy expensive clothes, I must eat the fancy costly foods, relishable and palatable foods. I have my apartment, you know, my apartment's a little simple, you know, it's very simple. I have to get a better apartment, bigger apartment. And, you know, I only have this bicycle, I need to get a motor scooter. I have this motor scooter, I need to get a car. I have this car, I need to get a better car. So even we see devotees, they lose the vision of the essence of life, that prema is the essence. So we have to be, Brahma's reminding us here, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, hey, spirit soul, wake up. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Have you lost that enchantment? Have you become bewildered by Maya? Are now you're running down the path of Pravritti Marg, enjoyment? Are you in the mood of collecting? Are you in the mood of collecting more and more? And enjoying more and more comfort, then this proves that you lost it. You lost it, man. You missed the essence of life. You become sidetracked, derailed, and diverted. The train is off the track, derailed, diverted, sidetracked. You're in the grips of Maya, but you think, I have tilak on my forehead. I'm doing all right. People pat me on the back and say, you're a good boy. Good boy. You bark nicely. Bring money. Bring money and bark. Bring money and bark. Ruff, ruff, ruff. Oh, you're a good dog. That's okay. Bring money and bark. But don't forget that the essence of life is Krishna prema. This should be our dread. This should be, we show affection. That's the way the acharyas will say it. Secondary sources of affection are family, friends, etc., mother and father. We show affection for them, but we keep our primary source of affection and our primary rasa is our loving devotional service for Krishna and a relationship with Krishna. This is the source of our real juice in life. The juice of life, the taste of life, the pleasure of life comes from our loving service to Krishna, not from our wife or husband. Or our belly or our tongue. Or our mother or father. Or a big house or a new car. Hey, look, I have a new car. I'm really happy. That's not happiness. That is foolishness. That is the effect of Maya. She can bewilder even the most sincere devotee. So Brahma, our good friend Lord Brahma, he's telling us in this morning's lesson, glare and glitter. External glare and glitter is illusion. It is like, they probably said, decorating a dog. Sometimes you see in the West they have a big dog, German Shepherd. They put a diamond collar around his neck and paint his toenails with fancy nail polish. Put a nice cashmere sweater on his back, and it's a designer sweater, so it has four arms. You know, because a dog has four legs, so they make four arms on the. It's a sweater with four arms. Cashmere sweater and it zips up, so you just put it on the dog and he's walking down the street with a cashmere sweater. It's cold in New York in the winter. So it's foolishness. You see a dog like that with a diamond collar and painted toenails and a cashmere sweater. You say, what the hell? What is this? This is absurdity. This is the epitome of ridiculousness. So for one who comes to the path of Nivritti Marg, for one who begins the path of Bhakti Marg, to decorate his dead body with rings and fancy clothes, and this is like decorating a dog. What attract? You want to preach? You want to attract others? Then enshrine Krishna on the throne of your heart. And make him your best friend, and shower all your affection on him. And show all your love towards him. And that will emanate and radiate through every pore and opening of your body. Every gate of your body will be illuminated with ornaments of transcendental beauty. Your eyes and ears and nose, without a nose ring or without an earring and without anything, so much natural beauty will emanate from a pure soul engaged in a loving relationship with Krishna. And the obvious byproducts, the secondary byproducts, which he doesn't even consider about, are detachment. Detachment from this world. Because he's attached to his loving friend. He's such a sweet boy. He's sitting in our hearts. But we want to run away from that boy and play with all these bad boys on the other side of town? Now you have a good friend, a very loving friend, a kind friend, but then you run on the other side of town, you play with all these bad boys that smash you in the face and they throw you in the mud, and you come home and your mother says, "Where were you?" "Oh, I went to play with these boys on the other side of the tracks, railroad tracks." "But look, they beat you, they hit you on the nose, they threw you in the mud. They don't seem to care much for you." Yeah, that's true. They stole my lunchbox also. They stole my tiffin, and I got a new pen, they took my pen. Somehow, I don't know why I go there, but I keep going to those boys. She said, "Hey, why don't you play with your good friends?" So this is what the sadhu says. He says, "Wake up, hey, play. Krishna's waiting to play. He loves to play." So this is some ideas to think about in relation to this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Ho. Any questions? Maharaj? Kavichandra Maharaj? Someone took the trouble to write a question. We should address this question first. You said to get the eternal love, we have to establish a relationship with Krishna. In the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada said, one in million is able to do this. How is it possible for the unfortunate soul to do this, who is busy in grihastha life and becoming one in a million? Oh, yeah. How is it possible for someone who is an ordinary person or devotee, he's a grihastha, or he's a brahmachari also, it doesn't matter. How is it possible for a grihastha or brahmachari to become that one in a million, that prema bhakta, premika bhakta? This is the question. That's the first question. Oh, there's two. It is impossible. It's actually totally impossible. It can never happen. It will all never happen. So, just leave right now. But, fortunately for us, in the other ages, the devotees are praying, "Oh, please, please, please give me a birth in Kali Yuga. Let me be born in east of Kailash. I'm praying for a birth in Gari. Because if I am born in east of Kailash, in the Kali Yuga, then Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namara Prachara Tati Lagi Pita Varna Chaitanya Avatara Harinam 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 Eva Kevalam Stevana Stevana Seva Gatiranyata Gauranga 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 Gauranga. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradhayate. Krishna Prema Pradhayate. Hey Mahaprabhu. Hey Gauranga. I want to be that one in a million. Give me that Krishna Prema. So he's saying, take it, take it, take it. So, you want to take it? Then Trinadapi Sunichena Turai Vasahishna. Put your humility in your hands. Put your humility in your hands and go before Lord Gauranga and say, "Gauranga, I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm worthless. What do I have? I have no money. I have no brains. I have no intelligence. I have nothing. Please, I surrender unto you. Atma samarpanam, please take my soul. And he will take your soul and he'll say, Krishna Prem Pradayate, take it. And you will receive Krishna Prema from Gauranga. Sri Guru Gauranga Vijayate. Sri Guru Gauranga Vijayate. Guru and Gauranga will be victorious. Every single jiva in this planet can attain Krishna Prema by taking shelter in the name of Gauranga. Animals, birds, tigers, elephants, dogs have received prema by chanting Gauranga. Are you a dog? No, you're a human being. You're born in a Brahmin family. You're Dvija Shrestha. Dvija Shrestha, you're the best of the Brahmins because you're sitting here worshipping Radha and Krishna and Gauranga. Definitely you will get Krishna prema. Definitely. Everyone in this room will get Krishna prema by the mercy of Gauranga and Guru. That's the first question. There's one more question. When we pray to Krishna for loving relationship and does not get response, we sometimes feel frustrated. Why is this? That if you're feeling frustrated, that means that you're praying sincerely. Because Krishna, with those that he cares about, he reciprocates with, personally. Otherwise, for those that he doesn't care about, then the external energy, Maya, Durga is taking care of them very nicely. But for the devotee who approaches Krishna, and he approaches him with loving prayers, his heart is between his Anjali. This is Anjali. So it shouldn't be space between your hands. Your heart should be between your hands. You don't come before Krishna. Hare Krishna. First you take your heart. You do heart surgery. You take your heart out of your body. You put your heart between your hands. So we put our heart between our hands. Then we come with before the Lord. That's how we pray. Folded hands means the heart's in between your hands. So you're saying, I'm praying to the Lord. Oh my Lord, I want to serve you as your loving servitor. I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalyo, Dasana, Dasana, Das. I am simply your servant. I want to render loving service to you. Please, reveal to me a loving relationship. Please accept my loving service. Please establish yourself in my heart as my loving master. I'm praying to you. Please reciprocate with me. So then if you feel some frustration, that is the proof that he's reciprocating with you. Because he's creating that frustration to make you cry, cry, and cry again. Beg, beg, and beg again. Krishna, please, Krishna, please, Krishna, please. Not that you just go one day before the deity says, okay, I'm inspired today. Today I'm going to pray to Radhaparta Sarthi. With my heart in my hands and all sincerity and surrender and humility and my command, I prayed, nothing happened, okay, forget it. That's it. I went one day, I prayed, nothing happened, so forget it. Now Krishna is testing. Even the gopis in the rasa dance, Krishna frustrated them. He left them and they started praying. There's so many prayers, Gopi Gita's prayers to Krishna by the gopis. Tava katam ritam tapta jivanam. Tapta jivanam. They were burning. Tapta jivanam. Their hearts and minds were burning in separation from Krishna. And they were offering so many prayers, heartfelt prayers. Who can offer more heartfelt prayers than the gopis? But Krishna was standing in the bushes, just beyond their vision, slightly invisible to them. They were on the banks of the Yamuna looking for him, and he was just concealing himself a couple meters away and watching. Watching the gopis become frustrated. So if you're feeling frustrated, then you're on the path of Gopi Bhav. Because Krishna, he frustrates the devotee to increase his attachment. He frustrates the devotee to increase his humility. He frustrates the devotee to increase his surrender. If you're not feeling frustrated, if you ask the devotee, how do you feel? You go to some devotee, how do you feel? Oh, I feel great, everything's wonderful, I'm so happy. You must be in Maya. And not Yoga Maya, Maha Maya. Because a really sincere and advancing devotee always feels himself, I feel terrible, I have no love for Krishna. Why am I living? Why am I breathing? Why am I eating? This is a useless life. This is a fly-like life, an insect, a beast-like life. I'm breathing like the bellows. My life has no value. I have no love for Krishna. I have no attachment for Krishna. What does it mean to be a bhakta? What does it mean to be a devotee if I have no devotion? Devotion means bhakti. Bhakti means prem. And I have none. So I feel very bad. I what's wrong? Maharaj, what's wrong? Oh, I have a severe heart problem. Oh, really? You better see Krishna Priya. He'll take you to the doctor. He'll take you to Escorts Hospital. No, there's no solution. They have no medicine for this. There's no cure for my heart disease. Really? Oh, you better go to Vrindavan. You know, if it's terminal, if it's a terminal heart disease, you're about to die, you better get straight away to Vrindavan and start chanting day and night. No, it's not like that. My heart disease, I said, I have so much love for Maya. I really love Maya. I love to look at Maya. I love to contemplate Maya. I love to dream about Maya. I love to talk about Maya. I love to eat Maya and touch Maya. And I hanker to touch Maya and be with Maya. This is my disease. I don't have a drop of love for Krishna. I have no affection for Krishna. But yet I'm existing in this external disguise. I'm play acting. See, I'm a devotee. Oh, big, big devotee. Maharaj. Swamiji. Dandavat, pranams. Where are the tears shooting out of our eyes like syringes? Where our hair standing out? Has even one hair on one millimeter of our bodies ever stood up in ecstasy? One hair, just one hair. 400 million hairs on the human body. 400 million hairs. Has even one stood up in ecstasy in a kirtan? Even when you take prasadam, has your Sikh ever stood on end? Haribo! Sweet rice, Haribo! Burfi, Haribo! Kachori, Haribo! I never saw. We'll go down, let's go down. Alright, we can do the test. We can have a test. Jita Mritu, he's a good judge. You know, he always gives us his scores every morning, and you know, he's a good judge. He'll go down and he's very exact. So he'll go down, he'll observe. He'll watch all the bhaktas sit down for prasadam. And we'll take the report. Whose Sika stood on end? Then we'll appoint Krishna Priya's wife. She'll check the ladies. Whose Baini stood on end? You know, whose braid? Baini, isn't it? Baini? This braid, hair braid, the lady's braid. It's called Baini? What do you call it? So if any of them are experiencing ecstasy when they touch Krishna's lips, when they take the Adhara Amrita of Krishna's Mahaprasadam, they're tasting Krishna's lips, it should transform them with sattvic bhavs, and their baini should go boing, stand on end 3 feet in the air. Surely everyone will notice that. So, and then tomorrow we'll report, yes, in this temple, there is one Premi Bhakta. Exhibiting. So if none of us are experiencing any of these sattvic bhavs, then we can feel that our life is useless. Let me get on with the business of surrender. Today. Surrender. Read about Krishna more today. Chant more. Cry more. Sing more. Aniyor, aniyor. I want love of Godhead now. Why do I have to wait 500,000 years? Lord Chaitanya is giving it. Why am I getting it? We should be asking ourselves this question. What's wrong with me? He drowned the whole world in prem. I'm so big that I can't drown in an ocean. How big are you, Mr. Bhakta Joe? How big are we? We're only 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. How much prema ras do you need to drown? How much water do you need to inundate a mustard seed? Sorso Beach. How much water does it take to inundate or to drown a mustard seed? What's the answer? Ek bindu. One drop. One drop of water will completely smother, drown, cover, flood a mustard seed. Inundate, submerge, totally. But we, the Atma, we are 10,000 times smaller than a mustard seed. So what's happening? There's so much prema ras, so much oceans of prema. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Ambudi. Anandam buddhi. Ananda ambudi vardhanam. In this holy name, there is an ocean of ras. Prema ras. Ananda ambudi. Ambudi means ocean of prema ras. And I'm standing on the shore, one tiny, tiny, 1/10,000th of a mustard seed, and somehow I can't drown. I'm so dry, I'm so impervious to the water, that it's not getting through to me. I'm so resistant, I'm completely waterproof, like a watch, waterproof watch, water resistant. I'm resistant to prem. I'm prem resistant. I'm prem proof. My soul is prem proof. You can't, there's no way this prema ras is going to wet me. My soul is not going to get wet with this nam ras, with this prema ras. Not me. I'm stubborn. No, we should drown. We should dive in the ocean. Nam Sankirtan. And get drenched. This is the essence of life. Without prema, Krishna prema, or even seeing some rays of it, or feeling some drops, some mist blowing off the ocean, or some wind on the ocean blowing some mist onto the shore, and we feel very fine misty particles from the ocean, and we think, oh, even the mist, the fine vapors and mist coming from the ocean feels so refreshing and so cooling and so satisfying. What will it be like when I dive into the ocean and start swimming in the prema tarangini? When I start swimming and floating in the prema tarangini, the waves of prema, how much ecstasy my soul will feel at that moment. Let me run quickly and dive in that ocean. So this mist, some mist must be coming to drive us forward towards the ocean of prema. Even that mist is satisfying. So, any other questions?
So, like there's like opposite, but like opposite of heart is cold, opposite of happiness is sorrow, but there's no opposite for ananda.
Yeah, good comment. And in the world of duality, in this material world of duality, what goes up must come down. So day is followed by night, happiness is followed by distress. But in Premananda, Krishna Premananda, and the happiness of serving Krishna, it goes on and on, ever increasing. Vardhanam. Yeah, Nirananda. Asat Achit and Nirananda. This is the material world body. What is the name of the second type of person explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? It's prema, something, R-U-R-U-K-S-H-U, Ru Rukshu. How about some lady saying she is decorating for Krishna? No, I'm talking about, there's certain codes of behavior, brahmachari dress codes of behavior. So for married ladies to wear the proper attire for a lady, It's all right. You know, they wear their nose rings. And Prabhupada used to say one time, some ladies, some devotee ladies, they came looking not very nice. And Prabhupada said, no, you should dress nicely for Krishna. You should look nice. But it's not that the lady is saying, look, you know, I have this rhinestone nose pin. I want a pure diamond nose pin. And no, in other words, she shouldn't agitate for the high opulence. She dresses herself as a lady, she dresses as a lady. You dress according to your position. Clean and neat. It's not that a lady wears rags or she's not decorated. Because that's part of the... there's also laws. There's niyam. Grihastha ashram niyam. So in grihastha ashram niyam, there's laws and duties for the husband and laws and duties for the wife. And one of the duties of the wife is to look nice. to look nice for Krishna, but Krishna is also manifested before her as her Prabhu, and her Prabhu is her husband. And he's supposed to be Krishna manifest for her because he's supposed to act as a Shiksha Guru, which means Krishna. Krishna is the Shiksha Guru. So she's dressing nicely for the deities also. That may be your primary meditation. She's in the mirror and everything thinking, Krishna, I'm going to the temple. Of course, my husband will benefit secondarily. My husband will benefit seeing me nicely decorated, but I'm not thinking I'm dressing for my husband. The lady should think, I'm dressing for my husband, yes, Krishna. He's the husband of every lady and a husband of every man. I'm dressing myself to please Krishna. And when I'm dressed, I'm going to first show him. If I have a picture of Krishna in my house, I'll dress myself and go in my house temple and show myself. And then my husband's in the kitchen, then I'll come and see my husband. This is a meditation. It's a bhav. I know some people, I know some devotees, they want to offer everything to Krishna. They get a bar of soap. They get a bar of soap. I have so much bhav to offer everything to Krishna. They take that soap and they wet it. And they wet it, and then they take Krishna, and they take Krishna's, something of Krishna's cloth or some his towels that they use to clean Krishna, and then they rub Krishna's towel on that soap bar. And they use that soap bar just to wash a little bit of Krishna's personal cloth. And then they use the soap and they say, this is prasadam soap. Because this soap was used in Krishna's service. I washed Krishna's clothes with this soap. Even a bar of soap. Or you get a toothbrush. You get a new toothbrush. Can you imagine? I'm not saying this is not my bhav, but some devotees have this bhav. They take the toothbrush, they sprinkle some Ganga Jal on it, and they put it on the altar, and they offer it to Gurudev. Gurudev, I want Guru Prasad. This is your dant. Here's your neem dant. Here's your neem dant in the form of a Pepsodent plastic toothbrush. This is your neem dant. And then they take it as Guru Prasad. Sounds a little fanatical. And of course, maybe it is. But I know devotees like that. They say, well, everything has to be offered to Krishna. I only want to take prasadam. So it's a good bhav. It's a good bhav. So the lady should dress very nicely in the Grihastha ashram, but not demand all kinds of high opulence. If their standard is that she has cotton saris, and then okay, it's cotton saris. If the standard is silk, it's whatever it is. Simple living and high thinking. Please Krishna with whatever you have in your hand, you offer that to Krishna. Whatever you have in your hand, Krishna has given you that in your hand. Now you arrange it nicely and you offer it to Krishna with love and devotion. If Krishna puts glass bangles in your hand, then you offer your hand with glass bangles. If he puts gold bangles, whatever he puts in your hand, but you don't demand. Whatever he gives you, you offer to him. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.